Hi, I'm Matt Richter, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Tiagi Group Business Intelligence Podcast. So today I'm actually not on the phone with our guest. I'm sitting here face-to-face with Phil Reynolds, who's the Senior Consulting Partner with the Ken Blanchard Companies. Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm well, Matt. Good to be here.
So, really glad to have you. Now, I have to point out, Phil and I go back, what, 15 years?
At least, yes.
So, Phil knew me when I was a pup. He was still an old man, but I was a pup way back then. And both of us had hair back then, too, huh?
Yes, a little. So much less now.
So, Phil and I are going to talk about some of the things he's been doing at the Ken Blanchard Companies around coaching and situational self-leadership. And see where that takes us. And we'll probably also dive into some general conversations about leadership and so forth. So, Phil, first of all, how long have you been with the Ken Blanchard Companies?
It will be 13 years in this next October.
Oh, so you're an old-timer there, too?
I've been there for a while, yes.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of changes. It's been fun.
Now, you, pretty much from the beginning, you were working with the situational self-leadership folks, right?
Yes, Susan Fowler and Lori Hawkins and Ken Blanchard are the authors of the Situational Self-Leadership Program, and Susan Fowler has been my mentor probably for the last 10, 11, almost 12 years.
Can you give us a quick Twitter version of what situational leadership is for any of our listeners that don't know, although their heads probably are in the ground? And can you give us a little more detailed explanation of what situational self-leadership is?
Situational self-leadership, Twitter version, is situational self-leadership gives you both the skill set and mindset of leading yourself. From the larger version, we show you three skills of three tricks, we call it the magic, actually, of situational self-leadership. Susan Fowler really likes the interactive learning and sees learning as kind of fun. I wouldn't call it a game, but yet it's very, very fun. So we use magic trick to help people experience the skill set of how do I manage up and understanding where I am according to what I need around a specific task or goal. The mindset is how do I overcome assumed constraints I have in my life. For example, my boss never listens to my ideas, or I don't have the right kind of education to get this particular job or situation. And we help people determine the difference between, for themselves, real constraints and then assumed constraints may place. Assumed constraints and experience that you've had in the past that limits your current experience. Then the second mindset you have is understanding your points of power. What are some points of power you have that you can use to leverage as you're trying to obtain your personal goals or professional goals?
So conceptually, it's how do I help myself get what I need to do done or what I want to do done.
Yeah, the subtitle we call is how to take the lead when you're not in charge. And really it's about managing yourself with other people.
So you gave us some examples like I don't have the education or my boss doesn't listen to me. What are some of the ways in which I can get around that? Or
one is it's understanding what your assumed constraints are and what they might be. And then what we help people do is to flip their assumed constraints to make them into positive actions of what they may want to accomplish.
So, Phil, can you give me an example of how I might be able to flip the expectations and constraints around?
Let's say, for example, how I do that. Well, say, for example, one of the things we have them do is list out what are assumed constraints you have in the workplace, like my boss never listens to my ideas. Let's use that one for example. So we might flip that around as how can we make that into a positive statement? Says rather than my boss won't list my ideas, how can I begin to frame out my ideas where my boss might start listening to them? And so I take the responsibility then to communicate up effectively to him or her to get what I need to be successful around that, my task and goals.
So the ownership is on me.
Absolutely.
To figure out exactly how to change the constraint that I see.
Right.
Cool. And you guys do this through workshops, literature?
You know what's really exciting is we have so many different venues, Matt, that people can use. We have a two-day workshop version. We have a one-day workshop version. One of the things that Susan, Laurie, and I just developed about 6 months ago was 21 days becoming an effective situational self-leader. So after they go through the different venues or ways they can go through the class, experience the class, they go through 21 days to develop the habits of how to communicate up. So they learn how to, they frame out their assumed constraints. They discover their points of power. They look at how they manage up. They look at some of their key responsibility areas, what their goals underneath that. They learn how to frame out effective goals, ask for what they need, sell their solutions, as well as negotiate for autonomy and authority. And then one of the really nice things, what we've done on the self-leadership program, is develop something called situational self-leadership in action. What that is a self-paced version. So you're my manager. You've gone through one of our flagship programs, Situational Leadership 2. As your direct report, I go through situational self-leadership in action, but at my own pace. So it's a self-paced process. But I partner with you, and I have one-on-ones with you every 2 weeks, which one-on-ones are where I set the agenda, set the meeting, and communicate to you what I need for my tasks and goals. So you've gone through the program of how to manage down effectively. I've gone through the program of how to manage up, and you understand that program where we can be asymmetric together of really communicating more effectively around our task.
And so it really does help us partner together to lead Absolutely. The organization more effectively.
And hopefully what it'll do too is it'll build trust with one, me and you, but also you and me of understanding, boy, this guy's really taking the responsibility for success where we are.
You're talking about the program within the context of managing and leading in the organization. Does it work for people who aren't in a business setting, who just want to take control of their own lives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. From the standpoint of discovering, one, what's important to them, and secondly, how they can begin the process and their own journey of how to accomplish that.
My guess is one of the biggest constraints to the program or the concept is the people in the program who don't necessarily believe it.
Oh, they're in the class, actual class.
Yeah. How often do you run into that?
Yeah, I've ran into that a couple of times. A lot of times, what's been interesting, it's not the managing up that people have the problem with. It's usually the assumed constraints. There's an interesting book called Don't Think of the Elephant, which is actually a political
right.
book.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably familiar with it, I'm sure. And it talks about how people speak into, right. politicians speak into certain mindsets. And now if I say, ask you, don't think of a large gray Indian elephant, too late, it's already
Done.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Because we have these frameworks in our mind. Well, that's what assumed constraints are. And for me, at least, on some of the things I've read, it seems like the assumed constraints are the things that are the biggest things that people have to overcome to lead themselves, regardless of where they are, whether it's individually, within an organization, whether it's
sure.
in a relationship, that kind of thing.
And by the way, just for our listeners, that book is by George Lakoff.
Yes, and it's a great book, very good book.
As you work with individuals or in classrooms, I know one of the biggest things that Susan Fowler talks about, and I know you do, is what do you do after the program?
Mm-hmm.
The program is merely the starting point. Mm-hmm. It's certainly something that in the Tiagi group we emphasize quite extensively. So what are the steps after the program to reinforce what people have learned and have started in a process stem from a process perspective?
The steps in the program actually are the 21 days to becoming a self-leader.
Yeah.
And what we've did with that is help them understand, once they've gone through the program, what's the follow-up for them where they can really kind of internalize it for themselves and use it how they choose to use the skills and the knowledge. So they go through a process where they can really ingrain in with them and learn the skills of how to lead themselves.
Now, you're also an executive coach. You go out and you coach folks as well?
Yes, that is true.
And you obviously probably use this format and approach.
Well, I use the elements of certainly use the – and coaching is people, as you know, because being a coach yourself – as you know, that when you come to a coaching perspective, people, whatever they want to talk about, that's where you land with them. One of the things, though, that was helpful is helping them kind of discover their assumed constraints. In coaching, you'd call them, again, because of your coaching background, you're very familiar with this, you'd call them gremlins or, you know, they're different people call different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But
oh, I know you certainly wouldn't. That's why I brought that up. I prefer to call them assumed constraints. Matt calls them gremlins, the little friends on your shoulder. Now, the assumed constraints of helping an individual is that they may have such a strong framework or mindset, assumed constraint, whatever you want to call it, is that they can't overcome.
Yeah.
That's one of the pendulums of that. So absolutely.
And as you're going about coaching, there are other processes that you use. And I know you've gone through different certification programs as a coach and so forth. What's your approach to coaching?
My approach to coaching, first and foremost, it's client-centered, where the client drives and leads the conversations to their outcomes. Also, I would say my approach to coaching is to help the client discover for themselves, not me tell them, but them discover what's the intrinsic value, one, of our sessions, but secondly, of what they really want to gain and what they want to accomplish.
And do you focus more on performance coaching or life coaching, or what's the focal area when you work with individuals?
You know, at this point, Matt, it's primarily twofold, because I have two different sets of clients. I have business clients that I do a lot of, primarily with my business clients, a lot of reinforcement of learning.
Sure.
And so they go through a program, and they, hey, I want to understand this concept of how to partner for performance more effectively, or I'm struggling with this particular individual. So a lot of it's enhancing the learning that took place either in one of our other programs, Situational Leadership 2, Situational Team Leadership, one of those programs. On the other side, I do individual coaching, life coaching, where it could be something from a relationship standpoint. For example, someone who's really having a difficult in a relationship, and helping them overcome, or helping them discover and for themselves and to determine what coping skills that either they may or may not want to develop to deal more effectively in the relationships they have.
As you go about doing the employee-based coaching,
mm-hmm.
you have a whole cadre of programs that you utilize through Blanchard.
Correct.
I think that one of the our listeners may or may not be familiar with situational leadership
mm-hmm.
as one of those processes. Can you give us a headline of what situational leadership is?
Situational leadership is helping a leader partner more effectively with their direct reports to help them reach their goals and the goals of the organization.
And how does that differ from situational self-leadership? For
Good
example,
question. Yeah.
In situational leadership, you focus on the actual development level of the employee and the readiness level. And then what
right.
kind of supervisory style do you apply to that?
And situational leadership, too, and the difference between our version, we have a two behind it because it's a second rendition. When
sure.
Ken Blanchard, Pat Andreas-Agarmi got together, they did a second rendition, so we don't use the readiness level, we use the development level. So in situational leadership, too, a manager will learn three skills: how to diagnose someone around a specific task or goal, how to flex their leadership style to match that development level, and then partner for performance. And those are the conversations you have on getting five agreements. You agree on what the goal is, you agree on what their development level is, you agree on what leadership style you're going to use, what are the specific leadership behaviors, and how often you'll stay in touch with that individual on that task or goal.
And so go back to the question about the difference.
Oh, the difference. Self-leadership is really where we focus on managing up, but I think of it more of just how do I manage myself and manage out, whether I'm managing up to my boss, managing out to peers, just managing out how to kind of manage my life. Situational leadership, too, is specifically about that one-on-one relationship a leader has with their direct reports.
Got it. Can you do you have any fun examples of trying to apply all that?
I have fun stories, but they have nothing to do with learning. they're what people do in class. They're just very, very odd.
So then moving on. You have a pretty eclectic background. How did you get into this business?
Well, I was a leader of a nonprofit organization for probably about 15 years, and found myself unemployed. And so I went to several business people, and they said, one of the things you might want to do is be a consultant. And I said, well, what is that? And they said, well, it's where you go and you kind of tell people where they're doing wrong, and they pay you money. And I thought, wow, that sounds like a pretty good job. So is there any books on it? And they said, yeah. And so I went down to the Barnes & Noble and bought a couple of books on consulting, Peter Block's Flawless Consulting and some others, and read through those and got a DBA, doing business as, and paid $4 for that, and started my own business, and was phenomenally unsuccessful. I mean, beyond belief of I was the epitome and picture of unsuccess. And so things kind of started picking up. I had some friends who kind of, why don't you come in and practice on us a little bit? And I think I started with the DISC model, D-I-S-C, which is the behavioral process. And I know you're very, very familiar with that. And then a friend asked me to be a part of a community college to come and help with the leadership piece of that. And community colleges are kind of like the Costco's or Sam's of training. And so I went and was involved in that. And a client wanted to use Ken Blanchard's Situational Leadership 2 model. And that's how I got introduced to Ken Blanchard. And we sold it successfully. The president of the university said, I can't pay you any more money, but I'd love to invest in you. What can I do? And I said, I'd like more training. So the second class I went to was actually Situational Self-Leadership. That's where I met Susan Fowler, asked her to be my mentor. She gave me a stack of papers to read and said, call me when you're done. 4 weeks later, I called her, and she said, you finished? I said, yes, you understand it? I said, absolutely not, but I've highlighted the areas that I understand, and that's where that relationship started. Next class I went was Situational Leadership 2, or Situational Frontline Leadership. So I met Dre Zagarmi, and he asked to sponsor me into the program. Another consulting partner asked. They offered me a job. Long story short, that's how I kind of got in this process.
That's pretty amazing.
So, and what's interesting is I think that's why I like the self-leadership program so well, because there were so many assumed constraints that could have taken place for me along the path of first, a friend of mine got me an interview with someone who was a headhunter, and the guy said, you know, with your background, basically, there's nothing you really can do.
Nice.
And so he said, so you can either have a choice of looking for a job or start your own business. And so I opted
to start
my own business.
Well, you start your own business at that point, right?
If I can't do anything, might as well start my own business. So it's been a nice journey.
That's pretty cool. And you and I actually met when you were just starting to work with us.
I was just starting with the company. I was in the, we were in the Situational Leadership 2 DISC Bridge, and you were at my table.
Yeah.
And I was friendly to you.
You were the only one.
I don't know why, but at the point I was.
Because they kept, I think Dre was teaching that program.
Yes, he was.
And he kept teasing us about how similar we looked, and that we were
probably
brothers.
I was like your older brother.
Lost at birth.
Which it could have been, because I'm adopted, so I actually could be your brother.
He could be. What are some of the other areas your consulting practice focuses on?
Our organization is very fortunate. When Ken and Margie started the company, we started with kind of the core product of Situational Leadership 2, which is the one-on-one context. And then Don and his crew came in, and they started the Situational Team Leadership. So we have the one-on-one context. We have the team leadership. Laurie Hawkins and Susan developed the Situational Self-Leadership, which is the individual context. And then Pat Zagarmi developed the organizational change. And so we use the same model along, whether it's the one-on-one context, whether it's the individual context, team concept, organizational content. And so that way you don't have to learn a new language for leadership. There's a common language and common thread that runs throughout the programs. The other one of our one-on-one context, Situational Frontline Leadership, which is much more for manufacturing, where it gives them the skills of goal setting, how to write, you know, praise and effective things, how to facilitate self-problem solving, some of the core skills around that.
When you go into companies, what is the overarching, what level of the organization do you work?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've worked with all levels. I've done executive overviews and worked with high-level executives. I've worked with the mid-managers. I've worked with the frontline people. I've worked in union, non-union, non-profit, for-profit. I've been very, very fortunate to be able to work in kind of a wide berth of types of organizations.
Do you find that you have a preference for any particular group? Probably not a good thing to put in public.
Yes. My name is Phil Reynolds, and I like working with these type of people.
Now, only.
Only.
Yeah.
No one else. The rest of you are losers. Yeah. Here's what I like about what I do. Is because people ask me, don't you get tired of traveling? Which the older I get, I don't get tired of it, it's just harder.
You just hit like a million miles, right?
I will hit a million miles this year.
All right.
And I'm not an up in the air guy, but I will hit a million miles this year. But what I like about what I do is the people. because although the concepts I teach are the same, it's the people that make it different. It's their situation. It's their lives. It's their thing they're dealing with that manager or with that employee or with that team or with the organization. And so that's what the challenge is for me, to how to take, listen to what that individual is doing and help them help themselves to become more effective in what they do. It's like being Jerry Maguire. Help me help you.
That's just about really the money, though.
Show me the money. Well, that's the client, though. That's not me. But that's what I love. So, regardless of the level of people, and I've worked in New York City, which where our interview is right now. I've worked with groups out of Houma, Louisiana, and both I've learned from. That's what's so great too, is I learn from these folks so much, the richness of what they gain and their own insights. That's what the beauty is. So
what are you continuing to do about your own self-development?
What I find is I have about a 2 to 2.5 year cycle that if I don't learn something new or gain some new skills, then I'll get bored and kind of stagnated. So I know that about every 2 years I've got to learn something new. So 2 years ago, that's when I went through the coaching process. And so now it's been almost the last 2 years. I feel like now it's kind of at the point where I'm actually doing it well, because there was a learning curve for me.
Pretty steep, as I recall.
Yes, it was very steep. Thank you for that comment. And then I had the privilege of about, it's been probably a year ago, because a year ago this weekend, I was doing the edits on the 21 days to become a self-leader. And so that's been the big challenge of learning how to write, which I'm such on a low end learning curve for that. Susan Fowler's done such a good job of helping me, of being still a good mentor of my life, of helping me in that. So that was kind of my new challenge. And so I still have about a year before I'll get antsy again to learn something new. So
we've both mentioned Susan Fowler and mm-hmm. Drea Zagarmi, mm-hmm. Pat Zagarmi. I'm not sure our listeners know who these people are.
When Ken and Margie Blanchard started the company, the founders are Lori Hawkins, Don and Eunice Carew, Pat, Andrea Zagarmi, Fred Finch. Those are the founders that started the company. And then there's a set of authors, Susan Fowler being one of the authors, Judd Hoch. There's multitudes of authors that have gone through there. But I was really fortunate, and I know you've had the same programs you've been through as well. I was trained by all the authors, and Drea Zagarmi trained me in situational leadership too, Susan in self-leadership, Donnie Nunes in the teams, as well as the other, Pat Zagarmi in organizational change. I've got to train with Pat, I've got to train with Drea, which, gosh, that was training with both of them. Both of them different, but both of them so gifted and talented, and I was watching them thinking, geez, they know more about this stuff in their little pinky than I do in my whole body. But that's what's so been good about the founders is they're the founders of the organization. What's been great about our founders and our authors is they've been so giving to pour into, and I wouldn't call myself young, but in comparison to the company, relatively new in the last, almost 12 and a half, almost 13 years, I've had the privilege of them pouring their knowledge into me and giving of themselves to me, which has been really nice.
That's pretty awesome.
It is.
What's next for you?
We'll probably have dinner tonight. No, what's next?
A show. Go for
maybe
a walk around
see,
the park.
Wicked, I don't know. What's next for me is, at least on this journey, one of the things I really want to do is enhance my coaching skills and expand that part of my capabilities and competencies of not being a good coach, because there are good coaches that help people, but how do you really become someone that you can align yourself with another individual and help them be successful in how they define success? And so I think I have some natural skills in it. I've certainly had good training. I've had people that have helped me. But I think that's my next year and a half of really focusing and honing those skills.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be in a class, or I'll be on a plane after a class or a workshop, or be on, after a coaching phone call, and I think I'm the most fortunate person in the world, because I really get to do what I love with people I love. So I'm very fortunate.
That's really great. So, Phil, I really appreciate you taking the time.
I'm excited that you're able to do that as well.
Phil, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. It's my privilege.
So you've been listening to the Tiagi Group Business Intelligence Podcast, episode number 6. I never get the name right. We probably should change it.
I would think it's a little lack on the intelligence with this particular interview, too.
That's why we have an editing function. So tune in soon for our episode 7. And I have no idea who our guest will be at that point.
Well, Matt, they
But I can't top this.
After this, it maybe can we do a part 2?
We could, but I kind of ran out of questions. So.
Well, I ran out of answers way before you answered the questions.
Yeah, I noticed. So, thank you.